For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg up next.
And we welcome you to the Monday Morning Show on WGTD-HD. I'm Gregory Berg. This is something off of YouTube and something just posted a few days ago, and it was really quite noteworthy for a couple of different reasons. One of them being that one of those two musicians is someone well known to a lot of us here in southeastern Wisconsin, Zachary Scott Johnson. A lot of us just know him as Zach Johnson. And this was from episode number 1000 or program number 1000 in a really neat series that Zachary Scott Johnson has been doing, the Song a Day Project, which he began back in September of 2012. So this was program number 1000, a collaboration with another fine young musician by the name of Jeremy Messersmith, as they performed together this song called Chandelier. Well, I am really glad to have Zachary Scott Johnson on the phone with me to talk about not only his career, but also this really exciting project on YouTube, called the Song a Day Project. And Zach Johnson is enjoying a really fine, multifaceted musical career, which has led to some exciting collaborations. He's based now in the Twin Cities, but every so often, although not often enough for us, he does make it back to his hometown of Racine. And but he's with us today via telephone to talk about his career. Zachary Scott Johnson, we welcome you to the morning show.
Thank you very much. My pleasure to be here.
I'm really happy to be talking to you, Zach. And I think we've actually talked at least once before on the morning show, but I don't think we've ever had the chance to really talk in depth about some of the things which you are doing. Let's get some of the sort of past history capsule biography stuff out of the way, particularly for the sake of listeners who aren't necessarily acquainted with your story. Not that there's anything particularly dramatic in terms of where you come from or what life was like for you here in Racine, but you certainly wasted no time in building a wonderful musical life for yourself in this community. Tell us exactly where you went to school and at what point music started to become a really important part of your life.
I started pretty young. I'm lucky enough to have been raised in a household where music and the arts are and were really valued. In fact, I went to Fine Arts Elementary School in Racine, which if I hadn't gone there, I think things would be a lot different for me now. But I started taking violin from Charlene Melzer, who is the teacher there. I think she still is the orchestra person there, the string person there. And never have stopped playing the violin. I still play the violin, and in fact majored in violin performance in college later on. Started taking piano lessons around the same time, 6 or 7, from a woman named Dori Peterson in Racine, and eventually picked up the guitar and mandolin and banjo and some other things later on. But I went to Fine Arts Elementary School, was there for 5 years. I went to McKinley Middle School, which was another really great place, and Park High School, Washington Park High School in Racine for high school. And all three were really great experiences. You know, they're schools, and it was the right time, you know, for me to cross paths with certain people, certain faculty, certain, you know, administrative folks. And it was just a really great time to be growing up in Racine, Wisconsin, I think.
Were you passing through middle school and high school at a time when a young person like yourself had to make choices between singing in the choir or playing in the orchestra or playing in the band? And if so, what kind of choices did you end up making?
Yes, I was. And really, that's such a good thing. I mean, you know, that's a positive thing. If we're looking back on it now, to have multiple choices, because so many schools are, you know, being faced with such severe cuts, they're lucky to get one of those options. But for me, it was always pretty clear that orchestra was going to be the number one place for me. The choir, I did choir in middle school. I just didn't have enough time, actually, when I was in high school to ever be involved in the choir there. However, I did know the choir director there very well, and he had me play piano for them quite a bit. So that was kind of my in with the choir there. Otherwise, I was just doing orchestra, and because I was involved in theater as well, I think they call them electives, were taken up by those two things. But like I said, they managed to kind of insert me into the choir anyway, because I was able to play piano and accompany the choir. Mm-hmm. So we did some after-school stuff, you know, rehearsals. They would kind of slot me in and let me play and sing along. So It was helpful.
So at what point in your life as a musician did Mozart start to sort of take a back seat to some other things that obviously have become, in a sense, your first love and your primary focus, particularly as a performer?
Yeah, somewhere in middle school, I think, I started listening to folk music. You know, again, going back to the household I was raised in, I again feel so fortunate to have been raised in a house where the music played around the house were folks like Joni Mitchell and Bob Dylan and Neil Young and the Beatles, of course. You know, folk singer-songwriters from the 70s, basically, which is a lot of what I still listen to. So that music started appealing to me when I was in middle school, particularly Joni Mitchell. There was something about her voice. I had never heard anybody like Joni Mitchell. I still haven't heard anybody else like Joni Mitchell. And there was something about her. I joke now, because I play with a lot of other singer-songwriters, that I was, you know, the only 9-year-old around who knew every word to Joni Mitchell records. And it was kind of true. You know, my friends weren't listening to the same stuff. But I started writing music kind of secretively when I was in high school. I think I started writing when I was about 15 or 16. I wasn't really performing the original stuff. I was playing in a couple bands. You know, some kind of local bands. I was in a bluegrass band called the Platte River Yacht Club that I got hooked up with via Warren Williams, who was the pastor over at Atonement Lutheran Church, where I was a choir accompanist. So, you know, it's kind of these connections, as you know, as well as anybody else. You know, one thing leads to another. And so through these bar gigs, you know, I was 16, 17, 18 years old, being let perform at these bars. But at the same time, you know, the lead singer in that band was also the pastor at the church I was a member with, you know, so it was kind of all, it was all okay. When I got to college, I think it was within the first 2 days that I was running over to the coffee house there, where they had a nice series, and saying, you know, how do I get to play on that stage? And from there, I never looked back. I went to Lawrence University in Appleton, and I was performing about every 3 weeks or so. I was doing a show at the coffee house, and it became a pretty popular act for fellow students, mostly because it was a small school and I knew them, but also because it was, I was finding my way and I was finding how to do a lot of different songs really fast because it was the same folks coming back over and over again. So I kind of had to have a new show every time, basically.
Well, that points the way to this wonderful YouTube project, doesn't it? But we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. So you were a music major at Lawrence?
I was. I was actually a triple major. I did music performance with the focus on the violin, theater arts so that I could continue with acting. And I also did psychology, just to have something to fall back on, I guess. We all have to have a B or C plan. And actually, to tell you the truth, if I had it to do over again, I probably wouldn't do psychology, not because I didn't enjoy the experience, but I spread myself a little thin in college. It was a lot to do all that.
Sure.
And I was taking multiple music instrument lessons there. Like I say, my main instrument was violin, but I took piano lessons there. I took jazz lessons there. I took vocal lessons there. It was a lot of stuff, and there was always at least one show. It was just a really busy time, but I made it through it, and I'm better for it. So.
And I'm just curious, your specifically musical studies at Lawrence, how much of that was sort of guided or tinged or colored by what you were interested in actually doing? Or was that largely playing Mozart and Bach on the violin and studying Bach harmonization of chorales and, the standard stuff that all music majors do who are really pointed in a classical direction? And assuming that is, in fact, the bulk of what that musical study was like, what kind of importance did that play in shaping you to be the performer that you are today?
Yeah, well, when I first got there, I had my violin teacher was also his first year there. He had just come over from Vietnam, and he was teaching there, and so he was, in a very European sense. He expected that we were putting in a lot of hours, and in fact, a good, very quick story was I had a 9 o'clock lesson scheduled with him one day, and I showed up and he wasn't there, so I waited about an hour or so, and I eventually left because I had another class. I ran into him later, and he said, "Where were you? You didn't show up this morning." And I said, "No, I was there. You didn't show up." And he said, "Well, I was a couple hours late, but I expected you to still be there." And I said, "Well, I had other classes." And he said, "No, you don't understand. You're here to play the violin. If you have a 9 o'clock in the morning lesson and I show up at 9 o'clock at night, you're supposed to still be there." And I said, "Well, I'm not sure I'm who you think I am. That kind of thing wasn't really who I was ever going to be." And he kind of figured that out after a little while. And actually releasing my first CD as a singer-songwriter helped that because I gave him a copy of it, which had some violin playing on it, some kind of lyrical background stuff. And it was the first time he kind of understood, "Oh, this is what you're doing. I kind of get it now." And from that point, he lightened up a little bit and wasn't so he wasn't so upset that I was never going to be playing Shostakovich concertos, But it kind of took that, getting to that point. I love the violin, and I love classical music. But, being able to play all those wonderful works of genius was just something, if I'd have been more focused, I might have been able to do, but it isn't me. Mm. And but I'm so glad, especially for the theory stuff and the part writing and the ear training and all of the stuff that you go through in musical theory and music history classes. I went in not knowing very much about music theory and felt extremely underprepared and was kind of behind the eight ball, so to speak. But now I'm kind of a theory nerd. It's kind of funny when you don't have to do it for homework, it's really fun. And it's interesting to me to dissect music now. Back then, I was just trying to keep up. But now it's something that really does bring me joy. And it again, relating it to this project is really helpful because I have to learn songs really fast. So being able to dissect the music has been really important for this project.
For those of you just joining us, I'm speaking with Zachary Scott Johnson, a really talented young man originally from Racine. He now makes his home in the Twin Cities, although He gets back to his hometown time and time again. And in the meantime, all of us who appreciate Zach's talent can follow him on YouTube and on the special channel he has there, where you can experience his Song a Day project, something which has been going on for more than 2 years, and in which he records a different song each and every day. He has not missed a day in all of that time. And Zach recently passed the 1,000 mark, the 1,000th song to be recorded as part of this Song a Day project. Zach, let's hear a little bit more music and, in a sense, kind of jump ahead to this YouTube project, although I want to talk a little more about your ongoing work as a performer, too, on stage. But we're going to hear a little bit from the very first installment of this project. But first, say a word about how you got the idea and got this rolling.
Well, so I put out a couple of CDs, and around 2000 and, I don't know, maybe 2008, 2009, somewhere in there, CD sales really, really slowed. And it wasn't just me. I was talking to a lot of singer-songwriter friends who were experiencing the same thing. And we were all hearing the same thing from people. People stopped buying CDs at shows and instead were saying, you know, can I find you on iTunes or Amazon or YouTube? And YouTube was, it was being made clear to me, was really the place people were going to discover new music and to find, you know, it was a quick, easy thing. You can click on it. If you like it, you listen. If you don't, you move on. And so it was being made clear to me that I needed to have a YouTube presence. And so what a lot of folks do is put up a music video, kind of an old school music video, something that used to be played on MTV or VH1. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do something, I want to try something new, something that hasn't been done before. And the only thing I could think was, well, I've played a lot of these, you know, 3-4 hour bar gigs where I play maybe 75 songs in a night. Maybe there's something there. Maybe I can record absolutely everything that I know so that every song that I have, somebody, you know, if somebody is interested in hearing it again, everything is available. And so I started it in September of 2012, and it was kind of like starting a blog or a journal. I didn't know if I would do it day two. Certainly didn't anticipate 1,000, but it's been really good for the career in a lot of ways. So I've kept going.
Very good. We'll talk more about it in just a second, but let's actually turn ourselves back to September 6, 2012. This is the very first installment in this YouTube project with Zachary Scott Johnson.
Hey, everybody. My name is Zachary Scott Johnson. I'm going to try a new series here called the Song a Day Project. I'm going to try to do a song every single day for as long as I can manage to keep doing that. This is the first one, and I thought I would start with the same song I've been opening pretty much every show I've done with. It's called Catch the Wind. It's an older Donovan song. Chilly hours and minutes of uncertainty, I long to be in the shelter of your loving mind, to feel you all around me, and to take your hand along sand, but I may as well try and catch the wind. When sundown pales the sky, I wanna hide a while behind your smile, and everywhere I look, your eyes I'd find. Standing in your arms is where I want to be, and I long to be. catch the wind.
An excerpt from the very first installment of the Song a Day project on YouTube. So, Zach, as you began this, did you have a very careful plan laid out or a careful format? Or did you just sort of plunge in a sense, without much in the way of rhyme or reason or careful planning in place?
Yep, I completely plunged in. There was no plan whatsoever. Like I say, I wasn't sure I would get to the second day. It was just one of those things, I knew if I had the time and had the kind of patience and perseverance to keep going for a little while, I knew I had enough material to go for a little while. I knew I had enough songs that I could do to let it last for a little while. But, it's always that question of will you keep going? I think part of it was my wife and I had just moved to Arizona at the time. She was doing a grad program down there. So I was really new there and didn't really know anybody, didn't have much to do during the day, basically. So I think that actually is a big part of it, too. It was at the right time where, I had some free time and had some stuff, had some stuff that I was comfortable kind of putting on the Internet. So.
Hmm. What is the proportion, would you say? I meant to kind of pay attention to this as I kind of revisited some things that I've already watched and enjoyed and sought out some things I hadn't actually gotten around to hearing before, but I kind of forgot to keep track of how much was original material songs you've composed versus covers of the music of others, and also the proportion of those which are just you in your living room all by yourself versus others like your 1,000th show, for instance, which was a collaboration with some other kind of musician.
Yeah. Actually, very similar numbers for both. I don't have exact numbers on either, but I think I've done I would say at least 75 originals out of those first 1,000 days. Especially early on, I was doing a lot of my original stuff. At this point, I've burned through all that stuff. I've done pretty much everything that I've written at this point, at least that I still know how to play. So I basically now I try to write something every 2 weeks, which is actually really great. Just from a writing standpoint, it's given me a reason to write consistently, which is really, really good. So I would say somewhere around 75 original pieces, and actually similar in numbers to the other one. There's probably 75 or so guests throughout the 1,000 days, something like that. I know it's over 50 for sure. And I've had some people multiple times, Mark and Jeff, who, I'm sure Racine folks will know, Mark Paffrath and Jeff Ward. We've done, I think, four together. And actually, Mark and I did a couple by ourselves, too. And my wife, Megan, has sung with me on, I think, probably 10 of these. You know what I mean? There's been a lot of folks who've been on more than once. So 75 guests, there's maybe 100 or so days where I'm singing with somebody else.
Is there any particular reason why a given song happens on Monday versus Tuesday versus Wednesday? I mean, for instance, song number 1001, does anything in particular factor into what song you choose for that particular day?
No, not generally. The only time it really does is if there's a guest involved. Basically, whenever I hit a round number, so, 400, 500, 600, or even, 550, 650, I like to have guests on those days. I'm not sure why. I think it just kind of is nice on those days. But I also have guests kind of sporadically anyway, regardless of what the number is. But no, there really isn't any rhyme or reason to it beyond that. It just is kind of whatever order I'm shooting them in, basically.
I think one of the really interesting tracks, which I listened to not too long ago, involved a listener request. Someone had asked for something by Michael Jackson. And
yeah.
And in this particular case, you actually, I think, chose something that had been recorded by the Jackson 5. But
yeah.
That brings to mind the whole question of listener feedback. And
yeah.
What kinds of things do you hear from the folks who visit your YouTube channel and are listening to you, and how many times do you get requests?
I get a lot of requests, and actually kind of what you're talking about is a really, the reason I do requests is because sometimes I get stuck in my own kind of comfort zone. You know, I do a lot of singer-songwriters, so I'll do, you know, Jackson Browne and Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell every day, and then something comes in and I go, whoa, that's something I would never ordinarily try. In fact, you know, a week or so ago, I finally caved and did a Taylor Swift song after I don't know how many requests came in to do one of her songs, just tons and tons of requests over the last couple of years. So it's something like that, those are the ones that are kind of interesting because I have to kind of find a way to make a song I wouldn't ordinarily touch feel comfortable to me. And as far as the feedback, that was probably the number one reason that I wasn't really comfortable with YouTube before I started this project. It's like those singing competitions, you know, there's so much judgment based on really what is, you know, it's so subjective, you know, what one person's talent is. You know, one song may be very moving and wonderful to one person, and another person's going to hate that. Because there's anonymity on the internet and people can post whatever they want without consequences, it's usually the people who hate it who are going to be more vocal about it. And so there was something about that that was very uncomfortable for me. And I just eventually said, well, you know, whatever. People will say what they're going to say, and that's going to be the way it is. And I have to say, in the thousand-some days here, I've gotten so much positive feedback. I mean, stuff that shouldn't be said about me, stuff I don't deserve to have said about me. And I've only had two people write me something negative. And that stuff I won't repeat on your program here. But, you know, it's really shocking to me, the number of people who are really supportive versus the people who are negative. And I don't think it really has anything to do with me necessarily. I don't think there are that many people who think I'm talented. I think what people are relating to is this project. I keep thinking about it in terms of, like, it's kind of like running a marathon. Nobody's going to boo at you when you're running a marathon. You know what I mean? Like, if you're saying, I'm going to do this, people are going to be supportive, and people see, oh, he's done this for 1,000 days. Even if I don't like the music, hey, you know, there's something there. You know, you got to give him some props for at least continuing this.
Right.
Thing,
A for consistency, if nothing else, and perseverance.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, as a matter of fact, I really like what you do with this well-known Jackson 5 song. So let's give a little listen to I'll Be There Again. This is how it's rendered by Zachary Scott Johnson.
Hey everybody, this is Zachary Scott Johnson, the Song A Day Project, where I try to record a song a day every day for as long as I can keep doing that. I got a request to do a Michael Jackson song. I'm going to do a Jackson 5 song. I hope that's acceptable. This is I'll Be There. It's a classic. You and I must make a pact. We must bring salvation back. Found you.
like what you do with that song, Zach.
Thank you.
You make it your own.
I've forgotten about that one.
That was number 582, if anybody's interested in where things fall numerically. I'm just curious, for instance, something like that, where you're taking a song that you otherwise probably would never have performed yourself, I'm presuming never performed before you did this on YouTube. How long does it take you to sort of put something like that together? And how many false starts, in a sense, might there be before you finally arrive at an arrangement or a rendition of it that with which you really feel comfortable and you feel good about it?
Yeah, I tend not to dwell on these things for too long, which is maybe not the best thing to admit. But, you know, I don't tend to take more than 10 minutes to learn these songs. In fact, oftentimes it's much less than that. And especially with, again, kind of going back to the pop music, which is most often requested stuff, the kind of popular stuff, that music tends to be more straightforward in terms of chord progression and in terms of, you know, it's just not the most complex music that there is, and that's totally fine. That stuff tends to be relatively easy to learn. Sometimes if I feel like complicating a song a little bit and doing a more kind of intricate arrangement, I've had that happen before where, you know, it's more that slows me down than anything else. And again, something like, you know, when I do Joni Mitchell songs, I always think of her as kind of she's the one where I struggle with, because her, you know, she tunes her guitar differently and she completely just changes everything. Her music is so intricate and so different than everybody else's that when I'm learning a Joni Mitchell song, sometimes that takes 20 minutes to learn a song like that. And false starts, it totally depends. You know, I have a couple of dogs, so if they start barking, I'll stop and start over again. But usually I would say you're watching probably the second take, something like that.
You have had some memorable collaborations, and we touched on early on one which occurred with another young musician by the name of Jeremy Messersmith. That collaboration was what you posted for your 1,000th edition of Song A Day Project. Another really memorable collaboration you paraded for the world for your 2-year anniversary. So this was show number 731, but it was September 6, 2014, exactly 2 years after all of this began. And this involved a collaboration with the well-known actor and musician Jeff Daniels and his son's band, the Ben Daniels Band. Tell us a little bit about how this collaboration happened, and then we'll hear just a little bit from it.
Sure. I tend to keep a pretty good eye on who is coming through town here in the Twin Cities and kind of watch the calendars of different music venues to see who's coming through. And if I have friends who are playing or people whose music I listen to, I just reach out and ask them if they'd have any interest in doing this. Like I say, at this point, we've had, you know, 75 guests, so it's easy to point them to somebody else and say, here's what it would be like. They're usually very quick to film and pretty easy to do. So we had been doing that for a little while, and Jeff Daniels was doing this little music tour. He has, I think, 4 or 5 different CDs out, and he was playing a great jazz club here in the Twin Cities. And so it was just exactly that. We reached out and asked if they would be interested, apparently he actually knew about it. He actually is one of those people who I think actually really is very interested in singer-songwriters and was aware of this and apparently has been watching it. So he said yes right away, and then the gig got canceled because he got nominated for an Emmy, and that night he was winning an award instead. So they wrote me back and said, well, we have 2 choices. You can either wait until he comes back, which will be probably a year or so, or if you want to drive over to Oshkosh, he's playing there, you know, a couple days later. So I drove over to Oshkosh, and we recorded at the Oshkosh, I think it's the Opera House over there. And he did a show with his son's band and just hung around afterwards, and we recorded this quick video, and it's a kind of silly song called Detroit Train, where he had me play the train whistle. And, you know, he's a really great songwriter. I think of him in the same vein as somebody like Lyle Lovett or John Hiatt. You know, he really is capable of writing some really, really great songs. But he also writes these really fun ones, too. So this one, it doesn't take itself very seriously. And right before we filmed it, he handed me the train whistle and said, you know, I know you play a lot of different instruments, but you've probably never played a train whistle before. And I said, that's true. And he said, well, it's actually kind of a tricky instrument to play correctly, so be careful. And we didn't rehearse it at all. What you're seeing is the very, very first take we ever did, and it was just a lot of fun to do.
First and only. All right.
Yep.
Here it is then. Again, the song is the Detroit Train, and this is with Jeff Daniels and the Ben Daniels Band and Zachary Scott Johnson.
New York City, long, long way from home. Ain't got no one to love me, oh baby, gotta get me back where I belong. I'm on the Detroit train. I'm on the Detroit train. Take me home back where I belong. I'm on the Detroit train. Every train needs a conductor. We're busy being the train. Fortunately, Zach Johnson is going to be the train conductor. Zach is going to play one of the most difficult instruments in the world. It's called a wooden train whistle. Step to the microphone, Zach. Train's starting to pick up speed. We're at the top of the mountain, Zach. We gotta let them billy goats know and them hobos know we're a train. We're going downhill. We can't stop. This would also be known as the wooden train whistle solo.
You'd really never played the train whistle before, huh, Zach? You would have us believe that.
Not that I remember. You know, I think, you know, sometimes those are there. I probably, you know, not that I remember.
Well, you are certainly an assured virtuoso. For those of you just joining us, we're speaking with Zachary Scott Johnson. That was an excerpt from his 2-year anniversary installment of his Song A Day project on YouTube. And that was with Jeff Daniels and the Ben Daniels Band on the Detroit Train. And we're talking about Zachary Scott Johnson's career as a professional musician, and in particular, this Song A Day project on YouTube, which recently passed the 1,000 mark. So it's been an exciting adventure, to say the least. Sometimes in the case of that, and maybe, for instance, something which I watched and enjoyed, in which you were collaborating with the great Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary, your role is very a little bit off to the side, where you are really throwing the spotlight on whoever it is that you're collaborating with. And then in other cases, the collaboration is very much one of, let's say, equals or peers, or however you want to kind of say that. Is that also by design, or do you just kind of follow what the dynamic feels like in a given moment?
Yeah, it is kind of picking up on what is, you know, kind of the guest's preference. And a lot of it has to do with how much time we have together. You know, if it's somebody who's on a very busy schedule, you know, Peter, for example, you know, he was in town and was kind enough to squeeze me in, but he didn't have a whole lot of time when he was here. So it was just one of those things where I sat in, you know, I did my homework and I learned the guitar part ahead of time, and I just kind of showed up. And for him, it was just like doing a little sound check, basically, just playing the song. And there was this guy who's also playing guitar with him. But, you know, other times we really work and we really kind of fine-tune something and do a lot of takes. Now, actually, Noah Paul Stuckey, who's also from Peter, Paul, and Mary, I did one with him a couple of years ago. And that one was one where we actually spent quite a number of time on it. That one, we probably did more takes than any other one of these videos I ever did. We ran the song just a whole bunch of times because he wanted to get, you know, it exactly as he wanted. So it really depends a lot on the guest and kind of what they're feeling.
Hmm. Well, it's great that you're able to enrich this in this particular way, and it, of course, makes all of it really exciting for us who follow the channel. And, of course, it has to be a special pleasure when you get to, for instance, reconnect with Mark Paffrath and Jeff Ward, two musicians who mean the world to you and two musicians with which you love to perform whenever you get the chance. Probably the chance is all too rare nowadays.
Yeah, it is. You know, we have a really good time. We had been doing about a show a year at the Racine Theatre Guild for a long time, and it's been, I think, 3 years since our last show, which has been too long. But, you know, we're still great friends, and we still sit in with each other whenever possible. It's just hard to get all three of us in the same room at the same time. And this was just one of those times I was in town. I wasn't even playing this particular time. I was just visiting, and so I called them up and said, hey, I'm in town, and you guys want to come over tomorrow morning? And, you know, I didn't think they would both be available, but they made the time, and I appreciated that.
So here's a sampling of Zach and Mark and Jeff making music together. Always a treat.
Taxi's waiting, he's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could cry. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go.
Oh, I hate to break away. It's so fun to hear these three voices and to hear those voices all together. Mark Paffrath, Jeff Ward, and Zachary Scott Johnson. Zach, you are a busy performer, and what kind of a challenge is it to find time to continue writing new material to actually compose?
It depends on the week, and that's, you know, one of the nice things about this particular project is I don't, you know, it's kind of at my own discretion. I don't really answer to anybody. So there's, I mean, I answer to the people who watch, of course, but, you know, there's nobody in particular who's writing me and saying, you need to do this, you need to do this. And so people are kind of understanding that, you know, I write when I can, and if it's a particularly busy couple of weeks, I may not have the time or the ability to. But other times I'm able to write with consistency, and people are nice about that too. I kind of wonder sometimes, you know, if people want the original stuff or if they want stuff that they're already familiar with. You know, it's always you never really know, because there's so many different people whose opinions are filtering in, that, you know, everybody kind of wants different things. So you just try to give everybody a little bit of something, you know.
Just a couple other quick words, questions about your life as a performer. For a long time, you obviously were rooted here in Racine, and most of your performing was right here. And then, of course, you started venturing out. And now, of course, your performing career takes you to all kinds of places. And I should think most of the time, for the most part, you're singing for strangers. What does that feel like? Is that exciting? Is that at all disconcerting? Is it just the reality when one achieves the kind of success that you have, that in a sense success will take you farther and farther from home and more into the sphere of strangers hearing you maybe for the first time?
Yeah, I guess I've never thought of it as anything other than, you know, the way it is. It just kind of is what life is supposed to be for a kind of gigging songwriter. There are some nights where, you know, playing for strangers is the greatest thing in the world. Some nights where it's not. You know, it totally depends upon the energy in the room, the energy of the audience, the energy of myself. I've also been doing it long enough. I've been averaging probably 75 to 100 dates a year for at least 10 years now. So, you know, there's been enough now where oftentimes it's not even really something I think about. You know, you just get up and do it, and it's no longer something that I never really ever did get nervous, but there is also kind of a formality to, okay, performance starts now. There's less of that now. It's just kind of a very natural flow from, okay, you know, off stage, on stage, and it's not even something that affects me that much anymore, just because there's been so much so many times that I've been in front of an audience at this point that it's become kind of a normal feeling.
The new normal. And in our last minute or so, what do you want to tell us about what you've been busy with outside of this exciting YouTube project?
Well, there's always, you know, stuff going on. I would say mainly the performing. You know, I've been playing everywhere, and I always love coming back to Racine and Kenosha and the surrounding areas. I think there's really great music there, really great musicians there, and I always look forward to coming back for a lot of reasons. And like you say, I come back with some regularity, so I'm looking forward to next time.
Very good. Well, Zachary Scott Johnson, we're going to play things out with episode 405, which is a brand new original at the time, which you'd never performed any place before, and with that, we're going to bid you farewell. I am so glad that we had this chance to talk about the exciting life that you have as a professional musician and about this wonderful project. Do you foresee it going on for a long, long time?
I do. I think 5,000 is totally doable, maybe even 10,000.
At the rate
but
you're going.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on your show, Greg. It's always good to talk to you. And I hope you and Kathy will guest with me sometime on this thing, too.
Well, wouldn't that be fun? In the meantime, get it back with Zachary Scott Johnson. And thanks again, Zach. Best wishes to you.
Thank you. You too.
This is Zachary Scott Johnson, the Song A Day Project, where I try to record a song a day every day for as long as I can keep doing that. Today I'd like to do a very brand new original. I think it's going to be called Get It Back. It's actually new enough that I'm not positive, but I think that's what it'll be. Things that happen to me, but tonight I need to know that you're there. I wanna feel your breath under my neck, like the wind that blows right through your hair. Everybody knows everybody here.
face like yours. And there's a lot on the line anytime you double down. And any little battle could become a full-blown war.
Zachary Scott Johnson. You're listening to WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn.